Through our VBS week, we learned different things we could do to find strength with God's help. 5 days, 5 stories from the Bible that show us how others leaned on God for strength. Our first one is Joseph from Genesis chapter 41, verses 14 through 43. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was hurriedly brought out of the dungeon. When he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." Joseph answered, "Pharaoh, it is not I. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream, I was standing on the banks of the Nile, and 7 cows, fat and sleek, came up out of the Nile and fed in the reed grass. Then 7 other cows came up after them, poor, very ugly, and thin. Never had I seen such ugly ones in all the land of Egypt. The thin and ugly cows ate up the first 7 fat cows. But when they had eaten them, no one would have known what they had done, so for they were still as ugly as before. Then I awoke. I fell asleep a second time, and I saw in my dream 7 ears of grain full of good growing on 1 stalk, and 7 ears withered, thin and blighted by the east wind sprouting after them. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 good ears, but when I told it to the magicians, there was no one who could explain it to me." Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years. And the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one. The 7 lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, as are the 7 empty ears blighted by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is as I told Pharaoh, God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. After them, there will arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land. The plenty will no longer be known in the land because of the famine that will follow, for it will be very grievous. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a man who is discerning and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land and take 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt during the 7 plenteous years. Let them gather up all the food of these good years that are coming and lay up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. That food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to befall the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine." The proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find anyone like this, anyone else like this, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only with regard to the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Removing his signet ring from his hand, Pharaoh put it on Joseph's hand. He arrayed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in the chariot of his second in command, and they cried out in front of him, bow the knee. Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our lesson for this first day was, I can share my gifts. Please repeat it after me. I can share my gifts. Joseph's journey of strength and power came through his trust in God and his willingness to share his gifts. But it wasn't without its challenges. We did not hear the full story of Joseph this morning, but Joseph started out living a fairly normal life. He had very jealous brothers who wanted him out of the picture, and they ended up selling him into slavery. His quality of life declined rapidly, for after he became a servant, he was falsely accused of mistreatment, and his angry owner threw Joseph in prison. Even there, though, he found his strength relying on God, despite his lack of power. And he shared his gifts with others, interpreting dreams of Pharaoh's officials that would later bring Joseph in front of Pharaoh himself. Through sharing his gifts, Joseph helped others, and ultimately he helped the land of Egypt. And he grew in strength, being respected, seen, and lifted up. In good times and in hard times, we can always find strength in God. We each have ways we can help one another, unique gifts we can share. It may not be interpretation of dreams, but in big and small ways, we can always offer our gifts for the lifting up of our community. With God's help, we can share our gifts. Amen. Day two, we learned about Esther. So we will be reading this morning from Esther chapters 7, verses 1 through 6. And chapter 8, 1 through 4, and 15 and 16. Hear the word of the Lord. So the king and Haman went in to feast with Queen Esther. On the second day, as they were drinking wine, the king again said to Esther, "What is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Even to half my kingdom, it shall be fulfilled." Then Queen Esther answered, "If I have won your favor, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me. That is my petition, and the lives of my people, that is my request. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. If we had been sold merely as slaves, men and women, I would have held my peace. But no enemy can compensate for this damage to the king." The king Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther, "Who is he, and where is he? Who has presumed to do this?" Esther said, "A foe and an enemy. This wicked Haman." Then Haman was terrified before the king and the queen. On that day, King Ahasuerus gave to Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was to her. Then the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and he gave it to Mordecai. So Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Then Esther spoke again to the king. She fell at his feet, weeping and pleading with him to avert the evil design of Haman, the Agagite, and the plot that he had devised against the Jews. The king held out the golden scepter to Esther, and Esther rose and stood before the king. Then Mordecai went out from the presence of the king, wearing royal robes of blue and white, with a great golden crown of mantle of fine linen and purple, while the city of Susa shouted and rejoiced. For the Jews there was light and gladness, joy and honor. This is the word of the Lord. Fear is a powerful motivator, and one reason that Esther kept her Jewish identity a secret for her protection and that of her family, the protection of her people. Too many of those in power, or at least one in particular who had the king's ear and trust, hated the Jews. Esther did not keep her secret forever, though. And she did build that trust with the king later to reveal that she was a Jew. But boy, was that a risky move. Despite feeling what I can imagine was great fear, Esther trusted in God and was brave. That bravery saved her people. And that is what inspired our lesson for the second day. I can be brave. There are plenty of times in life where things feel hard or daunting, or like we might be a failure, or like we may be harmed, especially if we do something risky like Esther did in the story. From things like an unexpected weather event to the loss of a loved one, or public speaking, or standing up to a bully. As we feel anxious and afraid, we may not feel like we have a choice of being in that situation. But we do have a choice on how we respond. Even as we experience fear, we can ask God for strength. We can ask God to open our awareness to God's steadfast presence as we walk through our days. Like many, my main exposure to Esther as a child was through VeggieTales. And the lyrics of Esther's song in that animated interpretation still ring in my head today and seem fitting to this theme. The battle is not ours. We look to God above, for God will guide us safely through and guard us with God's love. I will not be afraid. I will not run and hide, for there is nothing I can't face when God is at my side. With God's help, we can be brave.
On day three, we've had another theme. So let's listen to the word from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them had contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the word of the Lord. The children at VBS learned the challenge of giving their all and how the value of the widow's coin was worth more than the millionaire's leftovers, according to Jesus. As the year progresses for us, we might forget the stewardship idea. Remember our apples theme, where you're supposed to set one of 10 aside at the beginning instead of the leftovers to serve God with? Summer months slow down. I meant to make that pledge, but life sped up and got away from me. One easy way to do this is to schedule online giving. It's so easy, and if you want to learn how to do that in Realm, it's automated. You can do it from your phone or your computer, and I'm sure Dave Williams or I would be happy to show you how to do this. Lisa Faust is also a good resource for that. We can make it easy to give when our lives get busy and we might forget. We can remember to put God first by tithing or making our commitments of giving our all for God a priority. Not just a toss of leftovers here or there or something for show, but a true giving of ourselves, like the widow gave her last two coins, all of her life riches. Part of how we praise God is through our offerings. God has provided an abundance. And through these summer months, starting this morning, let's not let up or let it slip by other things taking priority. Let us take joy in giving our all. The theme that the kids had is, I can give my all. I can give my all. The ushers will now take the offering. Day four. I can pray. Let us listen to Matthew 26, 36 to 46. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me for 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Now the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Look, my betrayer is at hand." This is the word of the Lord. When we talked about prayer, I talked to the kids, and it's like, yeah, we pray for our meals, and we may pray for before we go to bed. But what is prayer really? Prayer is about talking to God, or sitting and listening for what God has to say to you. One of the best books I've read as an adult is Help Thinks Wow. It's prayer. Those are the prayers we've got. Lord, help me. God, thank you. And wow. It really can be that simple. Not very many people want to get up here and lead prayer. It makes some of us nervous. I was telling Tasha, adults are not always as comfortable doing this, even in classrooms. But we're just talking to God. You can do that alone in your home or in front of people. It is how we speak and interact with our Lord and Savior. It's how we say, help, thanks, and wow. It's really, really that easy. So, we're going to do the same prayer. Maybe you remembered the motions. Maybe not. Let us pray. God be in my hands. Give me strength to act with kindness. God be in my body. Give me strength to move forward. God be in my eyes. Give me strength to notice needs. God be in my mind. Give me strength to believe that you will always be with me. God be in my heart. Give me strength to share your love. Amen. And one of the prayers that we pray the most often is really, really important because it is that special prayer that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ taught us. So let us be brave and raise our voices, because I can pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Stand. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Please be seated. Friday, the last day of fellowship and learning together, we talk about hope. And we read from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. So hear now the word of the Lord. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and astonishment at what happened to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All through the Friday of VBS, the kids were seeing water games and water toys wander through the halls as we were setting up for the end of the week celebration. Water slides, inflatable pool, water soakers, bubbles, the works. And their excitement kept building through the day. It was a perfect illustration of hope and anticipation. They couldn't stop talking about it, and they got more and more excited as the day end came closer, and we got to go outside and play. So fittingly, our lesson for this day was, I can hope. I hope we can play with the water soakers. Why do we have those? I hope that we get to have fun outside. And they did. Different circumstances, certainly, but not unlike the man hoped to be given money or food, though what he got was something he didn't expect, to walk. And that walking fueled his hope and excitement for God. And that hope and excitement was contagious, spreading through the temple as people looked on with excitement and wonder, with awe. The story reminds us that everyone has hopes, and it is important for us as we walk by others to really see them and offer them kindness. Because even if their hope is small, a hope fulfilled fuels more and more hope, building community and opening our eyes to God's love that moves throughout all the earth. Really seeing others is seeing them made wonderfully in God's image. And even in the most trying of times, that is surely a reason to hope. With God's help, we can hope. Amen.